world, if they moved into your house, began to live in your place, would think they had died and gone to heaven and everything was beautiful and perfect. You see, it's a matter of perspective. You say, well, that doesn't make it any easier when I can't make my house payment. That doesn't make it any easier when I have to give up my car or whatever. All I'm telling you is this, and maybe this isn't the kind of good news you need right now. You have no idea how much worse it could be. So screw up your courage. Get that sneer off your face. Look up to heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for my finances. Let's say it out loud together. Thank you, Lord, for my finances. Here's the last one. Thankful for my faith. Thankful for my family. Thankful for my friends. Thankful for my finances. And here's one that you might not think of, and I wanted to throw this in so you don't forget it. Thankful for my future. For my future. Everybody in this room who knows Jesus has got an incredible future. A great future. All of these things. 1, 2, 3, and 4, you could make a good case for them all being earthly. You have faith in God on this earth. You have your family around you on this earth. You have your friends around you on this earth. And you have your finances on this earth. But let me tell you something. One of these days, it's going to get so much better, you won't even be able to remember what happened on earth. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Colossians, he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. He's qualified us. We get to be a part of the inheritance of heaven and glory and rewards and the streets of gold and the mansions and all of the things you read about in the Bible. If you know Jesus, they are yours. You may have heard the story about the woman who came to her pastor. And she said, I'm not going to be around much longer, and I want to tell you what I want at my funeral. She said, I want to be buried with a fork in my hand. He said, what did you say? She said, yes, and when they come to see me in the funeral home, when they have the viewing, I want them to see me laying in the casket, and in one of my hands, I want them to have a fork. He said, well, ma'am, if that's what you want, we'll see to it, but you got to explain this to me. She said, well, you know, Pastor, I've been in this church all my life, and you've probably picked up on the fact that one of my favorite things in our church has been the potluck dinners. She says, I've never missed one in all the years I've been coming to, and she says, they were so good, but she says, I remember something. When we're finished with the main course, somebody come out of the kitchen and say, keep your fork, the best is yet to come. And she said, when they come and see me laying in the casket, I want them to know that for me, the best is yet to come. Amen? The best is yet to come. We have so much to be thankful for. I began with a story. Let me finish with a powerful story that I read this week. Many of you probably have seen the Civil War movie Shenandoah. It was a movie starring Jimmy Stewart. And Jimmy Stewart plays a widowed father of a large farm family in this movie. He's a cranky old man with a keen sense of self-sufficiency. At the beginning of the film, he prays before each meal. Not because he wants to, but because his wife made him do it before she died. But his prayers are pretty testy. Here's what he would pray. Lord, we cleared this land, we plowed it, we planted it, we harvested the crops, we fixed the food, we worked till we were dog bone tired. None of this would be here if it weren't for us, but thank you anyway. That was his prayer. And that was his positive prayer. I wonder what he was like when he complained. I mean, but something happened in the life of this man in the movie. The war came, and he lost everything. His family was ripped apart, brothers fighting against brothers. His daughter gives birth to a grandchild named Martha after his wife, but his daughter dies in childbirth. One of his sons is killed before his eyes by a frightened young sentry. His youngest son, whom he loved because the boy reminded him so much of his wife, is carried off as a prisoner of war and lost to him for many years. Deep into the war, the remnants of the family gather around the table for a meal. And Jimmy starts to pray the old prayer. Lord, we cleared this land, we plowed it. But he chokes up and he can't go on. You see, suffering and loss and birth and death have shattered his illusion of self-sufficiency. Ironically, for this man in this movie, it is loss and pain that opens the door to gratitude. Toward the end of the story, against all hope, Jimmy Stewart is sitting in a church when his youngest son comes home to him, comes limping down the aisle, and they stand and sing together the doxology, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." Stewart's character comes to realize that he had seen things all wrong. The reality is that his body is a gift. His children are gifts. The seeds and earth and rain and sun and growth are gifts. His work is a gift. And life itself is a gift. And then God gives him one more gift: the capacity for gratitude. Gratitude is the ability to experience life as a gift. It opens up to wonder and delight and humility. It makes our hearts generous. It liberates us from the prison of self-preoccupation. All of us here have been given the gift of life. Many of us have been given the gift of faith. Most of us, all of us in one respect, obviously, but most of us in the extended respect, have been given the gift of family. We all have the gift of friends. We all have the gift of finances. If we're Christians, we have the gift of future. And my prayer is that in the midst of it all, God will help us to receive the gift of gratitude. Amen.
And amen. We thank you for joining us today for these lessons. We started yesterday and concluded today with the message of 5 reasons for us to be thankful. I look forward to seeing you Monday. Thank you for joining us today.
The message you heard today originated in the pulpit of Shadow Mountain Community Church, where David Jeremiah serves as senior pastor. This is Mark Larson. Join us Monday as we continue the series, Angels, right here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
This morning, Dr. Henry Morris talks to us about creation.